Whistler's tale. And now let us join old Nancy in Satan, the wise black cat.
Today? Yes, sir, a modern 15-year-old. Well, Satan,
yeah?
Oh, it's kind of a nice, cheerful little bedtime story we tell these folks tonight.
Yeah.
What say?
Yeah.
A Scotch story?
Yeah.
Why Scotch? So's to keep fresh in your mind that one of your principal New Year's resolutions is to cut down expenses.
Meow.
Now, what kind of expense can a tomcat have?
Meow.
You say ask any tabby cat.
Meow.
All right, Satan. If it'll help you to economize on milk, fish heads, and catnip tea to hear a Scotch story, old Nancy'll be happy to oblige. And what's more, she's going to tell you one that's absolutely true. Yes, sir, the main points of what you're going to hear now, strange as it may seem, can all be found set down as facts in the court records of old Scotland. Everyone douse their lights so as we'll have it nice and dark. Yeah, that's it. Now drop to the fire and gaze into the embers. Gaze into them deep. And soon you'll see back through time to the year of 1662. Soon you'll see inside the kitchen of a farmhouse. Soon you'll hear an angry man talking.
No, no, no.
Soon you'll know what happens when you call in the devil's name. In the devil's name.
Didn't ask me to become. I will not become. With all due respect to you, Mr. Gordon, as my lad of Park, I cannot be calm.
Not as to be accomplished by your anger, John Gowdy. Your wife remains fast in yon room where she locked herself, and each mad cry you make gives a fresh determination to come out no more amongst
the
us.
Stubborn wench, a little rhyme to reason with. A stout rat across the back is what she needs. The devil's spawn.
Oh, John, please, dinna speak so, my sister.
Dinna you say it with. I take no vicar for her pauper relatives.
This is getting nowhere. I offered to come and reason with your wife or her unbecoming conduct. But since you give me no opportunity, just plain my time is wasted.
Dinna reach for your hat, Mr. Gordon. Well, I ken the favor you've done to me, a simple farmer, the comer to this house, but to help me in my trouble. I mean no disrespect to you in my anger, but I cannot control myself when I ken that woman's crime. 3 Sabbaths in a row she's acted in a sinful manner. 3 Sabbaths in a row she's refused to gang with me to kirk. And now again this next, when there was special prayer meeting, she's flaunted her God and my husbandly authority and stayed away for a holy Presbyterian service.
She must have reason, she will not tell us.
A reason for such black crime as that? The only reason she can have is that which Master Harry Forbes gave out this next when he looked down for his pulpit and glimmed her empty pew. What did he say? You heard him. He said, "Them as dinna come to kirk 3 Sabbaths in a row, and again for special prayer meeting, must be out upon the devil's business."
Such words are dangerous coming from the pulpit, particularly you that our countryside is plagued with witchcraft.
And a fine thing it is for me, the richest farmer in Aldean, that to be cried upon by people as the husband of a witch.
Please, dinna say such things. You both ken well that Isabel is nothing of a kind. Such idle talk as this grows into fearsome tales. And should it come to the ears of the King's Majesty?
Would be a good thing, and they took it up. To be worried at the stake would soon curb her haughty pride.
John, I beg you.
Enough of this. If you want, I should try fair talk with your wife, John Gowdy. You and Mr. Sunny gang out of the sight and hearing while I try to persuade her to open and unlock yon door. Then I dinna wish to be disturbed.
I go, but she's the devil's own. I ken you'll have a small success.
Come, John, please.
All right.
Mistress Gowdy, will you come out now? I'm here alone.
I came now. These walls be thin, and I heard all was said. All I heard, that I am the devil's own, a witch. Ha ha! That my husband would like to take a wrath to me. If he ever dared, I...
Oh, won't you please come out and let me talk with you, Mistress Gowdy?
Here I am. And Mr. Gordon.
You have more brain than my husband, and should know that talk is useless.
I have better eyes than your husband also, and can see you're a beautiful woman with spirit, the kind I most admire.
Is that your argument, why I should gang to Kirk on Sabbath?
One of my arguments.
Let's hear the others. That one has no weight.
Because I hadn't finished it, perhaps. You have a reason for staying home on the Sabbath, Mistress Gowdy.
The reason is mine.
Will you tell me if I guess it?
Nay.
I can you well, even though you didn't put it into words. You're better blood than your husband. 'Twas a come down for you to marry him. I ken your father, Major, for the money John possesses.
What have that to do with my staying away for Kirk?
Much. Your husband is a miser, and the richest farmer's wife in all Aldean has nae a decent dress to wear. I said you'd tell me if I guessed.
How dare you speak of it, even though you are a laird? How dare you smile at me as the women smile when I pass amongst them in this old green rag, the only frock I own? I'd rather they thought me a witch than feel their sneering eyes upon me one more Sabbath. I have guessed my reason. I'm ashamed. Ashamed to gang out of this post looking like a beggar.
I dinna smile as the women do. I understand and sympathize because I am your friend.
Friend? Such a thing I've never known.
You know one now. Dry your tears. You must believe me.
Ah, Mr. Gordon, I'd like to believe you. I'd give anything to have a friend, anyone, anything, some living creature I could talk to, lean on. My sister loves me as I love her, but she's too young to realize the way I feel. And I am nobody else. I'd like to be...
Mistress Gowdy, you have me for friend, and I shall prove my friendship. I prove more. I can give you pretty dresses by the score, send you to Kirk in your own coach, and your neck and arms with precious jewels. That's why I asked to be alone with you this night. Not because I cared if you ever listened to the preacher of Master Forbes again, but because I'm mad about you, Isabel, because I want you.
No,
no, no, you want the goods that I can give you, and for them you'll give yourself to me.
No,
no, no, I want you. You wench. You struck me.
Aye. And again you lay hands upon me, this kitchen knife will find its way into your filthy heart. Say, this is your friendship. I might have known for all that's ever come to me has had its bitter price. Think you I would sell myself for a dress, some gaudy trinkets? And to you, another old man like my husband? Nay, once I have been sold, if I be again, it shall be for my own price. And to one who will set me high above such beasts as you who only wish me in the mire. Go, you old fool. Gang out to this house with your wrinkled, ugly body and your dirty soul. Gang out! Before I spit upon
you. You'll pay for these insults to your betters even ere I gang away, my lass. John Gowdy, come ye here.
No, you would have me tell my husband what you're just
saying. You tell him your tale. You tell him your tale and I'll tell mine.
What do you mean?
You call, Mr. Gordon. Are you convinced the wench is he must come to
me? Nay, and from this night, nay, Kirk will have her. Master Forbes was right. She is the devil's hen, a witch of hell. But no, she tried to play her wiles on me. I made love to me, she did. I can you say that? But yon kitchen knife she holds is proof. She threatened to stab me with because I will not kiss her on her wants.
Hey, John, Henny, you cannot believe
I believe anything, or devil's witch, you wouldn't have gained to Kirk. A spawn of hell. You bragged that Dan a strike you. Well, I strike you new upon your wanton face.
Oh. Good.
Aye, John. You've struck me as I said you'd never dare.
Isabel?
Gangway, Annie. You've struck me, John. But some way, somehow, I'll strike you back. I'll strike back at all of you for this. At you, my husband, who have treated me as dirt. At you, my Laird of Park, who has traduced me with your lies. And at you, my sister, who stood with him against me.
Isabel, I didn't.
The three of you shall pay for this. Oh, what I were, the devil's witch that you accuse me. If I had the power of hell, I'd strike you dead before me. Now I can only pray that God will curse you all. I curse you, curse you, curse you all.
Come out of that room.
Isabel, don't lock me out.
Let me in, your hell.
Come here, she's a calling to me. Come away from here, and let me tell you the full enormity of what she tried to do to me this year.
I would know all and prepare a fit and punish.
God, I pray thee, curse them all, curse them, God, curse. Nay, I pray to thee no more. Boss never listened for the time I was a bairn. They say I am the devil's witch. Oh, to hae the credit as well as hae the name. Oh, to hae the power, they say the devil gives his aid. To the foul black fiend of hell I pray for torment and all them who hurt me. In the devil's name I curse them. In the devil's name.
At thy service, Mistress Gardin.
Who are you?
One who was prompt in answering worthy prayers.
Whence came you in this room?
In the well-known place thou mentioned but a moment past.
You are...
The name I most prefer is Lucifer. Especially when I deal with ladies, it hath a more romantic sound than my other titles, don't you think?
Get ye gone. Didn't I really mean to call upon you?
Oh, of course you did. And if thou shouldst send me away before we really become acquainted, thou wilt never forgive thyself.
No.
Be not afraid. Look at me fair as I stand revealed in this gentle moonlight. I'm not at all the hideous creature thy good church folk imagine.
But a young man, straight and tall.
Rather handsome, am I not? I walk and turn around and bare my head. Thou seest no suggestion of cloven hoof or tail or horns. In fact, I'm the sort of young lover thou hast often dreamed would come to thee someday.
Your great, dark, piercing eyes. You are the handsomest man I've ever seen.
Thou art hungry for love, as well as power and vengeance. Wilt have me for thy lover?
Your deep black eyes seem to burn into my soul.
Far into thy heart, which is more important than the soul with women. Wilt have me, Isabel, and give thyself to me? Not simple frocks and gaudy trinkets do I offer. I will set thee over them who wish thee in the mire.
Glow in wondrous eyes.
They'll give thyself to me, soul and heart and body, forever and forever, in exchange for power and vengeance.
I
swear it in my name.
I swear it in your name. Devil's name.
And thou'st not even asked the price you'll pay. Well, there should be none unless you will it so. Except this mark I place on all my own. I brand it on my shoulder with a kiss.
Your lips burn.
Yet with a fiery thrill thou longest wanted.
Aye, a thrill that means new life.
A life quite different from thy past. But rebirth hath just begun. Now for thy first sweet taste of vengeance and the power witches know. Come, we go to where my court on earth holds revel.
Where?
To the Dooney Hills.
How go we there?
Two windlestraws blow in thy window. Seize one as I do and place it twixt thy feet.
It's done.
And hark thou to the charm I speak. Horse and haddock, mount and go. Horse and haddock, be it so. In the devil's name.
Who is that bestride two horses? Steeds that mount from out my window to the sky.
We are two mighty forces. Lords of Earth, both you and I.
I am a witch in credit as in fame.
I, by the power of thy master's name. Look yonder, there our journey ends.
To the downy hills my horse descends. With speed of thought we've traveled here.
Thought is another name of mine, my dear. Our steeds alight on Earth once more.
We change back to the straws they were before.
Well, what think you of this place, my Isabel?
The hills are thick with dancing forms. Human folk I see, and fearsome creatures not earth.
Oh, be not afraid. For witch or warlock, fiend or demon, all here do call me master. Kneel, kneel all, and make obeisance. Here I am God. Here is my heaven. Look ye on my kingdom, woman.
I see but awful ugliness about. Ah, ye too have lost your handsome looks and are the monster that men call
you. Oh, nay, nay. Gaze deep into mine eyes again and see that I am beautiful.
Your eyes burn deep into my heart.
And thou dost not repent thy bargain?
I do not repent.
Then enter in thy glory. Rise, ye witches, warlocks, usurers. Rise, all who are my subjects, and hail the newest of thy number. Now thou shalt have a servant, sweet. Come, Reva, come!
Ah, away, demon! Ah, he's perched upon my shoulder.
To be thy slave. Invisible once we leave this place to all human eyes but thine. Fear him not. He's thy familiar spirit. Asmodeus! Bring here my subject, Bessie Ball.
Bessie Ball? I can that name.
Well, thou shouldst in Alder, and she is thy neighbor.
And she is.
She is mine, as thou art. I will find many acquaintances here who have long been in my service.
You called for me, great master?
Aye, I have work for the old best.
Because of all my alder and corbin, thou art the ugliest and meanest.
That makes the beauty in my master's eye.
Thou sayest true. Now, Mistress Isabel, for the vengeance I have promised. Mr. Gordon, Laird of Park, shall be the first to feel thy hate.
I wish to be indeed.
Ah, wait. Death marks the end of worldly pain. Men must live to suffer truly. Hearken now to the devil's way of torture. The fool is vain and haughty. He delights to boast of his conquests or fair women. In that most tender spot we'll turn our dagger. Bessie Bald, brew thou a potent love charm for this Gordon Laird of Park. It is my will he marry thee.
Nay, I didn't like the man. I'll torment him and your wish with pleasure, but I want him nay for hosting.
Thou art particular, my toothless hag.
Toothless I may be, and ugly, but I have a right to choose my mate.
Thou hast no right but what I will.
T'was ne'er a bargain that I be wife of man I hate.
Silence! What the devil gives, he can also take away. Obey me not, and I bereave thee of thy power. I give thee to man's law, to torture and the state.
Nay, I do your bidding, master.
Then begone, all of you. Thou hast played enough tonight. Go back to the world and to my work. The slight of old Bess for thine enemy will serve thy hatred well when they are wed.
Instead, you fear to the torture and the stake if she should fail you. Is it so that witches attain by man's law?
Think you the faithful ones whom I protect ever suffer trial and burning? Oh, no, my innocent. I am a gentleman who looks after his own, so long as they do not cross me. Look not so thoughtful. Thou and I shall never quarrel. But come again to our window straws. How we ride to make thy vengeance quite complete.
No, we strike my husband.
Not yet. We call upon the Laird of Park, for thou hast another pretty gift for him.
What?
Thou soon shalt see. Place the straw betwixt thy feet and say the charm I taught thee.
Aye, horse and haddock, mount and go. Horse and haddock, be it so. In the devil's name.
In the devil's name.
Arise, mother, the horse astride.
With speed of thought again we ride. Look down. We've reached the place, you know.
I see the horse of park below.
To thine eyes I make its walls but air.
I see Laird Gordon sitting there.
Take this knife and from thy head. Cut a lock of thine hair so red.
I obey, but tell me why.
Ha ha! You'll learn that by and by. Hover good steeds above this roof, and we'll put the power of a witch to proof. Scatter thy hair down the chimney flue, then hark to the charm of my magic brew. With these hairs alight, may they leave a blight. Burn and pain, bone, flesh, and vein. Hair and maim in the devil's name.
I see Mr. Gordon rise in torment. Tuck show upon his flesh, red spot.
Red is thy hair. Red is the searing heat of flame he feels. Metal anguish is to come when he knows passion for old Bessie. But I did not wish to spare him also anguish at the body.
Oh, what wondrous vengeance ye have deemed me.
Our happy in it.
Aye, this will pay him for his persony. I'm happy, happy, happy.
I love thee for thy hate. Above all other human emotions, tis the one I find most satisfying. But the night is far advanced. I must return thee to thy home.
Him? Do thee know we'll pay off John, my husband? Tis him I hate the most of all.
Don't overeager, my dear. Scores paid off too rapidly accumulate no interest. And I should like his debt to mount. But I haven't neglected John altogether. I shall find him a greatly changed husband on the morrow. For henceforth thou shalt be the master.
I, his master?
That shall be the first portion of his punishment. And knowing something of women, I feel sure it will prove effective. Here we are.
So soon. A steed's just drifted here.
Gaze through the window at thy husband. He is sound asleep.
And now I am lying in the bed beside him. Yet I stand outside with you.
Another helpful charm my witches know. Before we left, I laid a broomstick underneath the coverlet. To all the world, when thou art absent, it appears as thine own self. See what power is in my name.
Aye, the power I've always craved. And you say I've paid a price.
None. Unless you wish it so. Enter now. I take the broomstick from my sleeping husband's side. Take now its place. Sweet dreams, my love. And sleep.
I sleep. But I came
I will do thee a favor. Sleep, my own. For now, dost wish against my presence, send Red Reaver, thy familiar. Bid him fetch me in my name.
In the devil's name.
In the devil's name.
hear me call you?
Aye, Isabel, I'm here.
You're after answer when I speak the first time.
I'm sorry, Isabel. I did not mean to vex you.
Never mind your excuses. Gang out and put the clothes to bed. And in a hurry back. I wish I had speak with my sister Anne. Alone.
Aye, Isabel, aye, again.
Isabel, what have you done to John to change him so? In a single week, he's dropped all his bullying ways and become as meek as mine. If you were my own blood sister, I'd say you were a witch indeed, and had wrought the change by devil's charms. But, of course, even Master Forbes has apologized for that dark hint he made about you for the pulpit.
Aye, and the gossip of our neighbors has likewise turned about.
Aye.
They gaze upon me with respect at last.
And John even bought you a new dress. Isabel, do you think it could be my prayers that caused it all?
Your prayers?
I never had told you, but ever since you married John, I've known how unhappy you were. So each night I prayed to God that your burden be made light.
Oh, and I cursed you with the others on that night.
You were beside yourself. I can't will you, didn't mean it.
Nay, I didn't mean it. The words burst out without my knowing. Annie, you're the only thing I've ever loved. You do forgive me for my words.
You cannot do. I've told you so for 50 times.
Aye, but I cursed you in the devil's name.
That means not. It is just an expression that everybody uses.
Aye, that's all. Annie, I wish to talk to you alone this night. I've got to talk to someone.
What about?
Annie, do you see a small red creature perched upon my shoulder?
A small red?
Tell me, do you see it?
No.
And here, where I bear my flesh, do you see a mark that looks as if two burning lips had pressed there?
I see not.
I must have dreamt it all. Be still, dream.
I do not understand you.
Never mind. Tis late and you hear an appointment with young Andrew Burns that walk upon the moor. Gang on. I would be alone. But then I stay out late.
I will not, Isabel.
Wait. Tell me again what happened on that night a week ago. After John struck me and I went into your room.
I've already told you so often you must ken it no better.
Well, tell it again. I'm trying to write things in my mind.
Well, Mr. Gordon told John some more of how you tried to make love to him. The old ninny. And John talked high of how he'd have you before the magistrate for the shame you'd brought upon him. Then suddenly a funny look come over Mr. Gordon's face and he blurted out the whole truth of how he'd lied. But he went him and John went into bed.
Beside of me.
Of course. And you were sleeping like a stick of wood after all your temper. Then I went to bed myself. And that's all that happened, except I think the painful sickness that came on Mr. Gordon that night was a punishment for heaven for the harm he tried to do you.
Aye, a punishment for heaven. Oh, I must have had a dream.
Tell me of this dream, you prater.
It isn't important. Gang, you're gone.
Hurry. Oh, I forgot to tell you the latest gossip for the village. It slipped my mind when I returned. Isabel. You ken old Bessie Ball.
Bessie Ball?
Aye, the ugliest body in all Durham. Well, tis hard to believe, but they say Mr. Gordon, despite his burn and sickness, was seen last night coming from her cottage. And Janet Murdoch, who happened by, swear she saw him kiss old Bess.
It was ne'er a dream I had. The truth.
Isabel.
Oh, you ken, sweet Annie, I never meant to curse you.
Whatever is the matter,
never mind. Go, gang out and leave me. Here's your shawl.
But Isabel.
Gang out, I wish to be alone. Here, kiss me first. Let me kiss you, my dear.
Go. Isabel, you should tell me what's
the matter. There's not to tell. Go and meet young Andrew. And come home soon. And safe. I must ken whether it was dream or no. For I cursed her in his name. I must know, but I'm feared. Red River. always at my shoulder you are. Yet none, no one else can see you. But can they see the burning mark placed on me by your master's lips? I must ken the truth. Tell him I didn't mean. Red Reaver, fetch your master. I bid you bring him in the devil's name.
Good evening, Mistress Isabel.
You're here. And I'm not dreaming, too. Or am I?
My poor sweet. Thou hast been suffering from a delusion common to my new recruits. Aye, and to some of my old ones. For no one denies the devil half so hard as those who know him best. Why didst thou not call me before to settle thy doubts?
I was afeard.
Another delusion common to my subjects. But thou dost not fear me now as I stand before thy eyes.
Ye are the handsomest man I've ever kenned. Yet when you are away, I cannot recollect your beauty. In my mind, you seem a monster, black and awful.
Thine eyes shall never see me as does thy mine, unless ye will it so.
That is what you've said about the price I pay for power. There shall be none unless I will it so. What did you mean by that?
Who knows what the devil means? Sometimes he doesn't know himself. Perhaps if he did, if he ever had, he would not have fallen down from paradise. But come, what will you in my name tonight?
All I ask in your name will be given.
All it is our bargain.
It seems there was something I once asked I did not mean. Something that had troubled me. Some words I would take back again. Now you stand before me, I cannot recollect. You look upon me with your great dark burning eyes, and all I ken is that I am your slave. Yet I cannot be a slave, for you made of me a master.
Perhaps what thou art striving to remember is thy curse upon thy husband, as thy hate for him abated.
Nay, him still I curse. There was someone else.
Thou thinkest of the Laird of Parr.
Nay, him too I wish to suffer.
Oh, then the errant thought you cannot bring to mind must be that final vengeance on thy husband is too long delayed. That must be it, my Isabel. For hate is all that matters to me. Hate for him who trampled on thy pride. Hate for him who struck thee. Hate
is all that matters. Hate.
Ah, come, we'll pay thy score to John.
He must suffer like the Laird of Parr.
He'll suffer more.
What do you do?
Hast ever seen men hunt the stag? First the great beast sights his foe. Then an awful terror turns and runs. The hunter follows, pursuing it through brambles, running streams, and over jagged rocks until its hide all torn, feet cut and bleeding, lungs bursting with exertion, heart but one great beat of fear, it's brought to bay and stands with hopeless, pleading eyes to meet the death it knew when the chase begun would be its fate. Hast seen that, Isabel? Well, the stag is noble game, but the greatest hunt of all is man himself. We shall hunt thy husband so.
He shall be the quarry, we the hound.
Again thou art my true disciple.
Come, we seek him out.
Here, fix the broomstick in thy bed, so none shall know ye leave the house.
I lay the besom in the devil's name. It shall be as I, till I come hame.
Now clutch yon floating window straw.
Fix my feet, I ken its law.
Horse and haddock, mount and go.
Horse and haddock, be it so.
In the devil's name.
In the devil's name.
Ah, oh, the hunt where man is game. Hate or blame.
Death to all I've cursed in the devil's name.
She forgot she cursed her sister, Satan. But you can make a little bet old Lucifer ain't forgetting. You folks got to wait till next week to hear the finish of this party little yarn. And then you'll hear a plenty about what happens when you call in the devil's name.
This concludes part one of the two-part drama and the 265th broadcast of The Witch's Tale, written and produced by Alonzo Dean Cole. The conclusion of In the Devil's Name will be brought to you at the same hour next Friday evening. Your announcer is Roger Bauer. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.